Listen and hear now these words of Scripture that come to us from the book of Romans. Owe no one anything. Paul must not have known about mortgages and car payments and college tuitions. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to awake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the work of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably in the day, not in reveling. I had to look that word up. Loud partying, which probably goes with the next word, and drunkenness. Somehow I think the two go hand in hand. Not in debauchery, wickedness, and licentiousness, wastefulness. Not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and hearing of the holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord God, we are thankful for the teachings of Paul, this great servant in the life of the church. And now, O God, as we spend a few moments pondering his words, we pray that you will give us comfort and rest. Rest from the activities of everyday life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O God, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm kind of getting a lay of the land of the ages here. All right, a couple of you are still in school. Couple of you, you know, but for those of us out of school, we're going to take a little trip back to high school. Remember high school for a moment. Or if you're in it, remember it now as it is. Okay, maybe there's a lot of things you'd like to forget from your high school years. Peer pressure, the clothes we were wearing. Oh, good Lord. The hair. I had some. Somebody said to me, I'd like to see one of those pictures of you with hair. I said, well, I'll see if I can dig them out. But, you know, my style in high school was below the ears. And I had to be a little careful because this right side would go a little wild. If it got below my ear, it had this little flip out. But this side stayed close to my head. Gym class. Shorts in gym class, guys. One of our kids, either Andrew or Abby, they were looking at pictures of a basketball team and said, what the deal with those shorts? We all wore those. Oh, my goodness. How about some of those textbooks? We would probably all agree that some of those textbooks contained some of the most boring, mundane, and sometimes even most baffling statements you've ever heard or read in your life. How many of us have spent time during a test staring at words, wondering if a train's traveling 25 miles an hour from Poughkeepsie, New York, and it's passing another train that's coming from the West Coast going 35 miles an hour, where and when are they going to pass each other? How many times have you used that in daily life? That's what I figured. If you felt helpless for some of those problems in math class, it's probably because you just weren't and aren't even to this day skilled in math. But thanks to a website called Thanks Textbooks, it now offers a fascinating look at some of the countless ways in which it seems that those writers have tried to confuse the students. I mean, think back to some of those other problems. Did someone really eat 37 pieces of pizza? Maybe if they were on the football team, although today, let me see, the pancakes, I think I heard because Philip and Abigail were having a contest, and I think Philip quit at 15. I don't know where Abby ended up, but it was slightly less. Do you really think that somebody contemplated the weight of his or her favorite orange? It's no wonder that most students look at some of those problems and say, when in the world am I ever going to use this? Freshman year, Mount Union College, I get my schedule and one of the classes is calculus. I am a religion major. I went in and said to my advisor, why do I have / need calculus? Well, you know, we need to be well-rounded as clergy. Thank God there was a test the first day. I think I got 20 out of 100. I took creative writing. Even now, I have to think sometimes when algebra problems come home. I'm okay if there's one X or one Y, but you add an X and a Y, and that might cause steam to come out of my head. We may not remember all of those rules and regulations. What is it when you're multiplying a fraction by a fraction? When you're dividing a fraction by a fraction, you invert, turn upside down and multiply? Who just said that? Is that right? You turn upside down and multiply? Okay, I don't know when I'm ever going to need that, but that one is stuck in here. But there are some pieces of information that are valuable for us in our everyday life and living. And that's especially true when it comes to our Christian life. For that, we need both directions and practical application to help us deal with the everyday problems of life and living. Fortunately for us, we have Paul and the book of Romans. We might consider the book of Romans to be the textbook of Christianity. Now, Paul was not sitting around at a desk dreaming up problems to write about. He was writing about common, everyday problems that people were facing during the first century. Romans is not an easy book to read, I understand that, but it is a book that offers some very practical advice, useful advice for us in living the world today. You see, for Paul, as for Jesus, the primary answer to any problem that we might encounter is love. Owe no one anything, he says, except to love one another. For the one who loves has fulfilled the law. Now, the law that Paul is pointing to is clear back in the Old Testament at the beginning when the Israelites were given the Ten Commandments. Those 10 clear statements from the biblical textbook about the way life is to be when you are living in the midst of God's community people. But like any problem, word problem, staring at these commandments for a long period of time, we then begin to say, but I found a loophole there. I can get around it this way. I can act here and still fulfill. But Paul says these commandments, though, can be summed up. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to the neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. And we know that that sounds a little familiar because Paul is echoing Jesus, because Jesus preached that the greatest of the commandments are to love God and to love one's neighbor. Of these two commandments, says Jesus, hang all of the law from all of the prophets. So whatever the question might be in our Christian behavior, be it all about eating, playing games, relationships, living in the world, being the church, Paul and Jesus say that the answer is Christian love. Now that's not an easy answer, especially when Jesus tells us that we're even called to love our enemies. Paul writes to the church in Rome, which is struggling because they're under the thumb of the emperor. Even when confronted with the power and the injustices of the world, the Christian's answer must be to respond out of love. Paul's talking about a Christian that loves, that forgives rather than retaliates, that promotes peace instead of conflict. Paul invites us to develop a new habit, develop the good habit of loving our brothers and sisters, which will then lead us to Christian success. That's Paul's textbook advice for us who are confronted in today's world with some strange questions and challenges. What is the right answer when your boss treats you or someone else in the office unfairly? What's the proper response when a friend gets the promotion or the scholarship that you thought you were in line for? What box do you check? What amount do you put in the box when you file your income taxes? How do you deal with that neighbor who takes their dog for a walk in your yard and does not carry a poop bag? How do you deal with the fact that there are just some people in this world with which you don't get along? What do you do with a problem in your current relationship? How do you handle a problem with your finances or your career? How do you respond to a problem with one or more of your family members? Do you have a problem or struggle with self-esteem, self-acceptance, your appearance, or your health? There are no easy answers. They all begin with that love that we experience through Jesus Christ, an unconditional, willful, sacrificial, Christ-like love. Paul and Jesus say that in the end, it's the answer for everything. Let's pray. Gracious God, for this day we give you thanks. Oh God, we know that we've experienced the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, a love that won't let us go, a love that was so great for each of us that he stretched out his arms and freely and willingly went to the cross. A love that we experience today in this holy meal. A love that we experience today that will not let us go, that has a firm grip upon each and every one of us, and a grip that is desired for the world. Oh God, continue to bless us, that we then might be a loving blessing to those this week. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.